What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Build-Up. We are done with international break. We are back and we are firing. We're back to two games, maybe sometimes even three games a week of United. And after a terrible loss before the international break against Liverpool, United have bounced back with two wins of a three-plus goal margin, 3-0 against Southampton, and 7-0 tonight against Barnsley in the Carabao Cup. So we all should be feeling great, right? We're all feeling good and positive, and we're back. We are so back. But yeah, we're all back. How was everyone's international? Actually, before we do that, we have a new face on the pod. Another valued member of Stretford Trends making his big boy debut. Yeah. So here, boo straight off is crazy.
I want to be face man. The only space for one face man here, bro. It's the guy from New York. I'm not having a guy from Northampton call himself a face man.
Can I introduce the guest, Abu? Please. Zohair, how are we, bro?
Come on, man. You know what they say. Ten Hag's red and white army. We're winning the league. 7-0 against Barcelona. Who else can say that?
Well, that's certainly one way to start off the pod. But how was everyone else's international break? You all good? Enjoyed the break? Enjoying the time off? Yeah, Son, did you do any hiking?
Yeah, did some the other day after the Southampton game. Went up like evening time, got down like 10, 11, 5 hours hike, got down in the dark with no path, just climbing down rocks and going through random, took like 2 hours to get down.
Bro, how big are your calves?
They're not that big. I just started hiking recently.
No, that's not a pause, but like this guy hikes so much, like.
Hopefully they grow in it. I've started doing leg day now, so let's see.
Like dog, like you walking 5-6 hours every uphill as well, bro. That's crazy.
I just not got the calf genes in it, so.
And got the Grealish genes, huh?
Yeah.
Abu, what about you, bro? How are you?
I don't know, man. England played well. That's it. Other than that, it was a bit boring, I can't lie. I just wanted United to come back, and then as soon as they came back, it's been good.
You weren't feeling the Barclays men comp?
Oh no, I love the Barclays men comp. Like honestly, seeing like Wigan Athletic, Hugo Rodriguez, Sean Maloney on my Twitter page, and seeing Love for Michu and Yakubu, it reminded me back to my childhood before Zohair calls me old. Like yeah, that was a. I seen him load the clip, yeah. Like I'm trying to put the silencer on that. Like nah, bro. That's none of that. Okay. Nah, but nah, it was good. But I'm fair. Since then, there's been a few screamers.
No, for real.
That John Duran.
Yeah, Duran's crazy, bro. What a player. He had a goal disallowed today, but like, there's something about like the aesthetics, like the way he strikes the ball is just so.
Does his play remind you of Isak a bit?
Like, yeah, just silky.
Because then he's fast, just hits it.
Respect Isak, though. Respect Isak.
I think he's better.
Isak is. What? Isak is. Wait, you think Duran's better than Isak?
Already?
I'm not saying, like. Ball striking wise, that's a crazy shout.
That's an insane shout.
Ball striking wise, we've got like a little competition there.
Yeah, there's more to the game than ball striking, though. Come on,
ball striking is king.
Anyways, crazy start to the pod, but you can tell we haven't done this in a while because we're getting just all the takes off our chest. But we are a Manchester United pod, and we are going to talk about Manchester United. We had a couple good games. We just were recording on Tuesday night. Right after the Barnsley game, and it was just nice to have one of those, man. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I was just like chilling, relaxing. Rashford's megging people and putting it top bins. Garnacho scoring a brace. Eriksen's getting in on the fun. Like, everyone, it was just an everybody eat sesh. And we haven't had one of those in, I mean, the last time we won a game that by that margin was what, the Southampton 9-0, like way back in the day. We haven't won a game by over four goals under Ten Hag. That was the first time. So, yeah, it was just really, it was far overdue, and it was good timing, and it was great to see Rashford get that confidence back. I think from the very first like moment of the game, you could tell he was just on it, ready to attack the players as we've been wanting him to. Takes his first goal so well, and the second one as well. But yeah, it was just great vibes. What was your guys' kind of like main takeaway
from today? I think Barnsley came to Old Trafford thinking they're literally Barcelona just because of the first three letters of the scoreline. They literally came up here. They've got like two at the back trying to attack us, and we just got straight at them. And there's like three, four defenders, and you know what it looks like? It looked like it was a training session, yeah? 11v11, and they're just giving us free final third opportunities to just practice our finishing. That's what it looked like for me. Apart from that, Rashford, yeah, confidence, Garnacho, confidence. It was more of a confidence game rather than, say, like, tactic change, more fitness for some players. Just nice to see.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was easy. Like, at first, just talked about some tactically, like, I was a bit confused why he put Ugarte and Casemiro. I thought it was a bit of an overkill. But then the way Eriksen was just floating about reminded me of his Tottenham days. Honest to God, he was literally picking at everyone. I think Rashford played the nine well. We got to take into account that it is League One opposition. But, you know, there were times where he dropped in. I remember for Garnacho's second, he dropped in, laid the ball off to Eriksen. Garnacho attacked the space, and then boom, 4-0. Yeah, he played really well. I think everyone played really well. It's just nice to have one of those games where we just battered the opposition. We don't have to wait around for an awkward 2 or 3-0. You know, everybody eats. But Xerxes, everybody eats. And yeah, it was nice. Even Anthony scored. Like, bro, I know it was a pen, but he won.
What were you guys thinking when he took that pen? I think everyone was expecting Rashford to take it.
That run-up was funky.
Because the keeper didn't move. He tried to do the stutter thing where the keeper moves, but then...
It was a good pen, though.
It was a good pen. Yeah. It was a good pen, but...
I mean, it was nice to see Rashford get some confidence. Like, honestly, God, like... Every time he scores, it's just different for me, bro. Like, he's just like... He's a Cadbury product. I just want him to, like you know how he feels, isn't it? It's like, he just hits different. Like, it's just so good to see him come back into form, like, a bit of form, you know. Hopefully, carries on against Palace and it's not just, like, a two-day thing. And this is the thing, though. Even Anthony played it all right, but he still couldn't dribble past a League One left-back half the time. The way he dribbles reminds me of when Zohair is on live on TikTok with girls. It just doesn't make sense. It's horrible. Like, just stop it. Like, it's just awkward to watch. It's just like, why are you doing this? It's just like, it's horrible to view, but yeah, other than that.
So, hey, is this true? Can you answer to them claims? Can you?
I've never been live on TikTok, so I don't know what he's talking about.
So, hey.
Interesting.
What did you all think of Collier as left back?
I generally didn't notice him throughout the entire game. I don't know if that's bad to say. Like, he was just like, he didn't really have much to do defensively because we conceded no shots. And he's got stamina. That boy's got stamina. I'll give him that. Even when inverting, he wasn't really that involved. It was more Ugarte and Casemiro. So I thought it was all right. But just touching on Ugarte, I liked him in possession, but then out of possession, he's too rash. Maybe Tenog's right in that he's not ready because he got lucky to not get a yellow. He was chopping. He was chopping down everyone. Too many fouls.
What did you make of Ugarte's debut, Zohair?
I think it was decent, but like Abu said, he's a bit rash, isn't it? Like, I think there was a point where like three challenges in a row were three fouls, and it was just it was looking a bit, how are you not booked yet type of thing. But hopefully he starts to polish up a little bit more once he gets a bit more rhythm with the players and his teammates. But yeah, it was a bit, it was a good debut, but obviously I think the crowd liked him. Is what one thing I'd like to say, because they gave him a good standing ovation. They gave him a good applause when he was getting subbed off, and you can see he was fuming when that foul got given against him, and he got blood on his face and stuff. Like, I don't know why I found that funny. He got hit in the foot and his face was bleeding.
His knee was, but he was like, I don't even know. The challenge didn't look that bad. I mean, he got stepped. I thought it was like he got stomped on, but then it cut to him and he was like
bleeding
Randy
everywhere.
Savage, there, like, just bleeding everywhere. But I think with him, like when you already are that aggressive, like innately, and then you don't have the match sharpness and you're already kind of like a step slow to things, you're kind of going to look like a little bit of a fish out of water. So it is a bit concerning, but I think he's only had a few sessions and then he went to Uruguay, obviously, and then he came back and just popped back into the team. So hopefully, you know, this week he gets more kind of acclimated to things and yeah, just kind of gets that sharpness back and we see him, you know, winning those duels instead of being like that half a second late. So, yeah, any other kind of standout performances from that game that you wanted to talk about?
Before we go to that, I just want to ask Zahir, what did you think of the attacking patterns? Did you think that we saw anything different, or how do you think we like exploited them? Because
I don't think it was anything different than what we've been seeing, to be honest. In terms of the attacking patterns, it was good. It was, again, 2v2s, trying to create 2v2s and then make them 1v1s with an underlap or overlap. So it was pretty much what we've been seeing all season, or in previous seasons anyways. So it wasn't much different. But in terms of the way it performed, it was a bit better. But I don't know if that's just because of the quality we're playing against.
It's because Barnsley just pushed everyone up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You guys notice that Casemiro's trying to run that same play every time now? The pass that he put into Dalot. Southampton, the one on the now they're now him and Dalot are trying to run that play every time, like every time he picks up the ball. He tried it like 4-5 times today, and to be fair, like it almost came off like every time. But he just, you could tell Casemiro, like he peeped something that worked, and now he's just like, I'm just gonna go back to the well every time.
Listen, if you watch WWE, John Cena only had 5 moves, but those 5 moves worked every time. Casemiro, I trust you. I believe in you. As long as you don't start every game. Because in today's game against Barnsley, what intrigued me in the first half was that Casemiro was normally the one dropping deeper. And the guy was the only one pushing up, which I thought it would be the opposite way around. Because Casemiro, I'll be honest, going forward, offensively, he's a threat. So I thought that was a bit interesting to see. It meant that we saw more of Ugarte's ball carrying and his dribbling out of pressure, which is really good. But as you can tell, like he's not really much fit. His passes weren't the best. And you know, there are a few times where he's, as Zohair said, like his tackling was just a bit, he's too late, like so many times. Like, it came to a point where I was like, bro, like, what's bro doing? Like, bro, relax. Like, it's Barnsley, it's League One. And by the way, this passing at the back, pushing up your fullbacks high, yeah, should only be reserved for top 10 Premier League teams and above. I've enough of this woke nonsense where League One teams are rocking up to Old Trafford with Garnacho, Rashford and Ericsson supplying them, thinking they can do that and get away with it. I blame him for that when they lost 4-1 and he had 9 men and everyone was gassing him up. Like I blame him because, honest to God, this is both nonsense and I'm not having it's just stupid. It doesn't make sense. It generally doesn't make sense.
Raheem had something to say to Mike Williamson about MK Dons.
Yeah, literally like that, and that MK Dons guy like replied like but forget about the MK Dons guy. I'm in favor of Roy Keane. What Roy Keane is, it's facts, honestly. But
on the standout performers, I thought Eriksen, like if you can just talk about him a bit. How much do we need a player like Eriksen? Obviously, off the ball, we need someone like that, like more younger, more to be able to cover more ground, but on the ball. I think on the ball, he might be the best midfielder in our team. Like, I don't know, I just see it that way. The passes that he does.
Is permanent, man.
The way he just keeps the player ticking as well. He doesn't even need his physicality. Just little touches. He's just amazing to watch, man.
I think it's an indictment on United's transfer that we knew at the end of his first season that we should phase him out and get a new midfielder in to replace him. And it's 2 years afterwards and we're still relying on him in back-to-back games in the Premier League. And against Barnsley in the League Cup. I think he should be just putting bubble wrap and just playing for the cup games and playing like come on the 60th minute, 70th minute for games instead of starting him. And yeah, I unfortunately, I think we're going to have to rely on him quite a lot for this coming season. because, like, for one-off games like today and against Southampton, he played very well. But we know he's a traffic cone out of possession. Like, anyone could drive around him. But no, he was like, today was like a ball sesh. Like he was just killing it.
To be fair, I think I want to see a Premier League game with Eriksen at 10, then Ugarte and Casemiro behind him, like just two ball winners, like proper energetic. Well, Casemiro's not really got the legs that much anymore.
I feel like that could work with Manu, Casemiro, Manu, Ugarte, and Eriksen as well, because you get the ball carrier in Manu, and then you get obviously a final third in Eriksen, and then you get the defensive side in Ugarte or Casemiro. I feel like with Manu there, it could work as well. You don't need both Ugarte and Casemiro. I think Ugarte, his defending is good higher up the pitch, because you know when he played for Sporting, he used to counter press really quickly, like in the final third and in the middle third. So if we sort of have an Ugarte, Manu, Eriksen midfield, I see that working as well. Obviously Bruno as well. I just think, obviously, Casemiro's been all right, but I still don't think he should start a lot going into the season. I still think once Ugarte gets his fitness in, I want to see him more.
Yeah, 100%. I think Eriksen is a good sort of segue into the Southampton game. A lot of people were talking about him after that game, sort of the impact he made, like what Hassan was speaking about, sort of his ability to keep the play ticking and also be that, you know, secondary creator, make those incisive passes as well. But it didn't start off very well for United in that game. It was on at 7:30 my time. I'd had a bit of a night out the night before. The alarm came pretty quickly. And I woke up, opened up my computer, put on the game. In the first 10, 15 minutes, I was just like, what the hell is going on? We're being absolutely dominated. I think I texted Hassan, you know, like, F this, I'm going back to bed. Yeah, I'm going back to bed. And then a couple minutes later, we scored our first, and he was like, wake up. And I was like, bro, like, I never turned it off. Like, I'm this club, man, this club is just, it just makes me so mad how we can.
It's a drug, man. This club's a drug.
No, it's like, I shut my computer down for like maybe like 10 seconds, and I was like, oh, put it back up.
I think Zahir sort of put the thread out on it as well, on what we changed, and I didn't get time to analyze it like that myself. I just went over through more general points, but yeah, Zahir, if you want to,
take us through, because that first 30 minutes was quite poor.
Yeah, no, it was not pretty to watch. It was not good to watch. We were getting dominated by newly promoted Southampton that hadn't won a game all season. And it was looking like they were going to get their first against us, which was not good until that penalty save, which shifted the whole momentum. So as much as we want to talk about it tactically, I think genuinely just a momentum shift in play helped a lot, because it deflated the Southampton fans. The crowd went flat. The Southampton players, they kind of got deflated as well. But in terms of the way we pressed differently in the second half, which was leading to them not even having a shot. We pressed, you've seen us this season, we've pressed with Bruno and Xerxes like parallel to each other. But in the start of that half, it was like Bruno was a little bit behind Xerxes, so it was almost a 4-2-3-1. And it wasn't working at all. So we went back to basics, back to what we've been doing the whole preseason, and it paid off. I don't know why he changed it in the first place. I don't know if he got PTSD from the Southampton, from the Liverpool game, where we just got ripped.
Those first 30 minutes, I swear to God, I wanted to rip his bald head off his body. Like, I was like, I wanted to slap it. Like, genuinely, obviously, Onana saving the penalty was a big momentum shift. Like, Southampton didn't have to recover. The boy wonder Rashford scores that, you know, goal at so out of nowhere. And second half, like Zohair said, like, the tactical changes, we just bullied them afterwards. But it was like the first 30 minutes, I don't know how you say his last name, sorry. Leslie Iguechukwu, he was dragging Kobbie Mainoo around like he was Khabib dragging Conor McGregor around in the UFC. Like, honestly, God, like, he was just dragging him around. And I swear to God, the way Mainoo is being used here, he should file for gross misconduct and unfair use under some labor laws. All right, there must be a lawyer in here somewhere who can put that clause in, because the way he's been used this season, I hate it. I generally hate the way he's been used this season. And in the first half, it was shown like he was getting dragged out of position. He's one of the most tools, I think, in midfield for us, but that's not a good sign. Like, and I feel like he's being used like horribly. But in the second half, he was used much better because obviously we're dominating and we're pushing up a bit more and we controlled the game out of possession as well as in possession, which I think has been a major issue in the new centre half. So it was nice to see that. But for me, I can't get those 30 minutes out of my head because it was just like, how can we, like, if they score that penalty, like, come on, like, do you think we're coming back?
It's peak.
Like, it's a different conversation we're having today. Like, yeah. I can't lie. Maybe him saving that penalty is like that Garnacho scoring against Arsenal moment last season where it changes our season, you know? So, like, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, it was a good win. I got Rashford scoring. I love that. Garnacho coming off the bench against, you know, tired legs. I love that. And, you know, Ahmad coming on and, oh, bro, I love him. Like, he's changed my life. He's changed my life.
I think that was the only, one of the only games where I've seen Maynard actually struggle, because every time he got the ball, however you say that, over Shakur, any Southampton player would, like, proper get tight to him straight away. I think it was sort of like a instruction, like, every time Maynard gets the ball, he'll always have a man on him. He'll come from anywhere, like, all throughout that game, every time he got the ball, he had to shield it, and he did quite well. Obviously, at the start, he sort of adjusted to it, and then going out throughout the game, he was more comfortable. But I think it goes back to, obviously, it's the midfield, isn't it? Like, if people around you aren't moving into the right positions, then the one in midfield, I think Zoya can sort of like explain this more as well. The one in midfield is going to struggle if the fullback or the other midfielder aren't moving into the pivot with him,
It depends how the other team set up, really, and the way Southampton was set up. If I can't really remember correctly, but were they pressing? I don't even know if any of you guys can confirm. But if they were pressing in a 4-4-2 as well, it's difficult because the one just gets double teamed.
Yeah.
And if he's on his own, especially if with Eriksen next to you, he's a high volume passer, which is all right, but Maynard's going to struggle.
Yeah, but it goes back to needing that movement, doesn't it? Like, if Ogartia and Maynard can make that relationship going forward, then we might be in good hands. It's just all about, not getting overloaded in the middle.
Yeah, I think a lot of times too, this is really true in, like, all sports, but oftentimes, like, your first year when a player breaks onto the scene, you can come into games and, like, surprise people and, like, coaches and players don't really know what your tendencies are, yada yada. But then the second year, when a player is established, as Kobe has established himself, he's now a part of the game plan going into every game. Sometimes probably the main piece that coaches and managers are game planning for, like saying, if we stop him, we stop United. And it's really true, because there's so many, I tweeted this out, the amount of hospital passes that we give Kobe every game is crazy. It's just like, I see Kobe, like, he might be surrounded by three players, but, you know, I don't have another option, so I'm going to give it to him and just hope he's special. And a lot of times he is special, and he wiggles out of the craziest situations. He's one of the best players in tight spaces I've ever seen at United, but it just can't happen every game, because he's going to get hurt, or he's going to get fouled, or he's going to get tired, or it's just like, that can't be just our get out of jail free card every time. There has to be more of a rhyme and a reason to our build up play and our attacking play and our just in possession play in general. And I think a lot of it is just Kobe and Prey, Lissandro and Prey, you know. But I think we've talked about this ad nauseum with our build up, how random it is at times, and how we're asking guys to just basically be special, and they don't have a concrete idea every time they pick up the ball. Okay, this is where my next pass is going to be. This is where my next player is going to be. It's just kind of off the cuff, which I think leads to trouble.
It goes back to the rotations that H talked about when he came on as well. Like, when he talks about the amount of rotations that we do in build up. I mean, if the players aren't comfortable, or obviously, go back to what Ten Hag's saying about angles and needing a left footer as well, then there's that. because they can't play on the outside. They always most likely a right footer would play into the central area of the pitch. He wouldn't play down his left because obviously you'd have to, if you were, then you'd have to shift the ball. So that's an extra few seconds wasted there. So yeah, it goes back to that, down to that as well. And if we are having just one in midfield or just two in midfield, then it sort of makes it even more difficult without having the right, like left foot, left back, or obviously a left centre mid with his left foot. I think so. Here can sort of, I don't know if you've been analysing the build up the last few games, but do you notice like a change, or do you notice like if, do you think he'll get better, or do you think we have to change something? Or
in terms of build up patterns, I'm not too sure. That's not something I haven't even looked into yet, to be honest with you. But in terms of build up shape, it's always been the same as it's been. This time we're just using a 2-4, which at times we did use last season. I think Copenhagen away is a standout one. Obviously we changed up for that game and we were amazing, but that's something that we've integrated into the system this season. But hopefully we see a bit more patterns, because I don't think I'm a fan of the, with these bunch of players anyways, certain people like Casemiro is one of them. I don't know about Ugarte, but I don't think he'll be good enough as a situational build-up player. So they have to think for themselves, to problem-solve themselves. I don't know if they'll be good enough at it, which is a bit of a scary thing since we're, what, 6 games into the season?
To be fair, I don't mind Kobe being filtered, because it leads to like one sick highlight every game. Like, I guess I've helped to deflect over player's head, and I just put that everywhere. I was like, this is my CM. But yeah, it just seems to be like, just give it to Kobe and inshallah he'll get out of it. And it's just like, bro, that's not sustainable. Like with Maguire today, there was an instance when Maguire chested it down to him and he had two players on him and he just dropped the shoulder and he just drove. So that gives me like a little bit of hope that he's, you know, he is a ball carry first midfielder, and it gives me a bit of hope that he can get out of pressure. But again, it's a bit like, instead of having a structured build-up play, we can't just rely on these players to just get it to the final third, and just, you know, then some patterns can emerge. But I don't know. It's like with Luke Shaw coming back, do you guys think that he's going to make Luke Shaw invert like he did last season? But more so, or overlap like he did in that 22-23 season?
I think he'll still stay as a left centre-back in build-up. But going forward, I think we'll have much more variety, because going forward, Mazraoui sometimes fills in on the right as well in build-up, and then when he goes forward, he overlaps with Ahmad, or he underlaps with Ahmad. I feel like, obviously, this season, I think Luke Shaw's going to do similar. I feel like he'll just swap on each side, because we do need him at left centre-back, like, in build-up. I feel like when we build up in the back three, it's much better, especially. What I want to see this season is I want to see our full-backs actually supporting the build-up, like, against the Liverpool game. They're just bombing forward straight away. Like I think just having more players in the midfield just fixes a lot of problems. I don't see, CK, do you agree with that? Or...
No, for sure. What did you say? Wait, who did you?
ZK, not ZK. Stay there. You're new on this part, okay?
My bad.
There's a hierarchy we got here. No, I'm playing.
Exactly.
No, but I think we, for sure, 100% agree. Just both in possession and out of possession, right? Because if we do give the ball away, then you just have more bodies in the middle of the pitch to help nullify transitions as well. But so many of the good moments that we had against Southampton came from an overlapping fullback. I just think that part of the game is just being like, with so much of like this inverted fullback sort of thing, which is super helpful in some situations. But like those plays where Mazraoui overlaps Ahmad, you know, Ahmad is so dangerous going inside that you have to respect that as a defense. And then it just opens up that overlap for Mazraoui. That one play, I don't know why he tried to sneak it near post. That pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. He should have just played it across. But he thought he was trying to be slick, but it just didn't come off. But like those sort of moments are just like, we can just create those over and over and over again, especially once we get Shaw back and we have that sort of dynamic. Obviously, Dalot can overlap as well. Mazraoui can. And then we have the Shaw-Rashford dynamic, which is cash money, we know. So I think once Shaw comes back, I know everyone's like, I just can't just be one player that comes back. But I do think Shaw is the one player that's like actually changes so much for us. So I'm definitely, hopefully he comes back. Yeah.
If Shaw makes it, having a left-footed left-back makes a difference, believe it or not. And obviously, yeah, we still got Malacia to come as well.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about Malacia.
I don't know who that is.
Apparently, he's making some progress, you know.
The guy who cost us in Sevilla 2 years ago. Ah, that guy. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, see, that's so unfair. That's so disingenuous, bro.
Listen, that ruined our season. I'm not having any extra books for me. That I still remember it, man.
Yeah, he also pocketed Salah OT. So.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing with Shaw is that we saw his quality in literally the Euros final. Like, the guy came out, no one dropped a blast.
Yeah,
like, literally. The guy is just like, he's different gravy. But I think with me, I think the way he was used last season as a left centre back, it did help with the build up, but it did isolate Rashford a bit more. And I'd rather get that 22-23 kind of situation where Shaw was constantly overlapping him, giving him that, you know, and they have a great relationship and giving him that option on the outside or the inside. And it gives Rashford space and it just suits. And I think with Xerxes' box movement, which has, I think, surprised everyone, it's been like a great surprise for me, especially to see how good his box movement has been. I feel like it'd be really good for him to have someone like Shaw delivering those balls into the box. As we know, like, he's improved so much as a crosser. He's very good. And even with Malacia coming back, like, we know he isn't the best offensively, but still, like, he provides an option. And just like Zohair said, just basics, having a left footer bombing on gives option to your left winger to cut in. Like, we saw Rashford cutting in against Southampton. Sorry I keep on mentioning Rashford. I'm glazing him, but I don't care. I'm going to glaze him. That's my guy.
No, yeah, we have to, bro. We've been waiting. We've been starving, bro. We've been starving.
Listen, I'm wearing this kit because he's going to be the next England squad. Lee Carsley's going to call him up and he's going to take definitely over the England squad.
Yeah.
Better. Because that Anthony Gordon guy's not doing nothing. But
it's a good segue, though, Abu, because Xerxes is where I wanted to go next. Because he was special on Saturday. Obviously, he leaves some meat on the bone there with that last sitter. And the first one is like, he should have done better, but the last one is really the one that you got to be bearing, man. You just have to be.
This nonchalant gimmick has to stop, bro.
Yeah, you just put it in the back of the net, bro. Put it in the back of the net.
Put the ball in the net, bro.
Yeah. But his game, aside from those two moments, I thought was absolutely incredible. Like, there's a certain way in which he, like, I talked about Duran's ball striking. He almost has ball striking, like, gene, like, as a passer, if that makes sense. Like, the way he fizzes some of his passes in is, like, it's just so fire. Like, the way one that he turned in the first half and played it into Ahmad, I think the way he hit the ball was just, like, it was perfectly weighted, created so many opportunities. Him and Rashford look to be linking up and finding that chemistry. And then once that gets unlocked, it might be a confident Rashford with Xerxes. That's scary. But I really liked Xerxes' game. And then I guess we can just kind of segue that into the whole kind of front three. I just really like that front three dynamic, whoever wants to speak on it.
I'm actually really excited to see Højlund get involved in that as well. Because we're forgetting we've got him to come back from injury.
Yeah.
I want to see them two play together. Because I want to see what happens if them two play together.
Listen, that Højlund and Xerxes two-man step, it's going to be like... Bro, that two-man step would be like Zohair on TikTok, bro, with the girls, bro. Like, it's just cash money every time. And cash money every time. But that...
I'm sick of this guy.
Check out this guy's TikTok live. He's a menace. But that, I think the one thing I really liked was with Xerxes was that... And, like, everyone said after his first game, like, he's going to take time to acclimatize. You know, he's still off the pace a little bit. It's still in the Italian league pace. But then I think those goals and international break gave him a lot of confidence. Like, he's come back to Southampton and he was making people in the halfway line. Like, his two-man step with Rashford was insane. Like, just his overall play was good and his box movement was insanely good. It's just that he needs more conviction in his ball striking. The second chance he had in which I think Howard Bellis blocked off the line, it's kind of like, oh, it was going in, but bro, if you just smash it with the same way Garnacho hit it, it's a goal. Like, they can't stop it. And the first one, I think, where Eriksen passed it to him and he slid in and he just didn't get enough of his boot on it, I think that was a bit unlucky, in my opinion. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, he's coming on leaps and bounds. And I'm really excited about our attacking squad depth. Like, everyone's bagging, bro. Like, everyone's scoring. It's a 3-4.
It's a good thing to see. Obviously, now I'm thinking about it. Everyone actually has eaten this season, apart from Hoyland.
It's a buffet, man.
Yeah, and Hoyland, like, that first Arsenal preseason game, he looked like he was ready to take over. So I'm super excited to see what he can do when he comes back.
I think
we haven't seen him start the season for us yet.
Yeah, well, I think when he comes back, then we've got like a real sort of options on our hands. Not even in like the front three, but we can field a 4-4-2. You know, if we sort of like, I don't know how the midfield dynamics is, the two in the middle will work, but if you can have Ahmad, Rashford, Xerxes, and Hoyland, we've got really good balance there. If we can sort of balance the centre mids, Ahmad's a creator. And obviously, like, I'd say all-round right-winger at this point anyway. Rashford, direct, mostly all-round. Xerxes, he can drop, and Hoyland can drop as well. Hoyland can play off Xerxes. And you've got Hoyland and Rashford, and they can, like, literally both play off him. And you've got Ahmad, who could sort of drop deep as well. He moves as a creator. So it's something I want to see, like, against... I don't know what game, but if he can feel the front two of Xerxes and Hoyland with Ahmad and Rashford, that would be like something nice to see, because I feel like it does bring a lot of balance, and it's something we need back in football as well, a 4-4-2 with two strikers.
He's had enough of Wolfman since
4-4 back in two.
4-5-2. He went up front, lumped up to the big man. But now I feel like with the way Hoyland was towards the end of last season, we started playing more towards his strengths. Like, he was going off into the channels, you know, facing up defenders instead of just backing into them and twerking into them like he was Carnival, like he was facing them up on the one. Like, honestly, I'm like, bro, like, what was he doing, bro? And yeah, and I feel like the way Xerxes can play off that, go to, you know, just towards left hand side, him and Rashford can, you know, interchange. I feel like it can work out. It's just the two midfield. I don't feel like we have the two midfield. I don't think we have the two midfield to play a 4-4-2 per se. I feel like, especially with just Ten Hag, like, suicidal midfield.
Would you not think Maynou and Mount would work?
I was more thinking Eriksen and Ugarte. Let Eriksen be the high volume passer, because you can still, with a 4-4-2, you can still field a 3-1 in build up or whatever Ten Hag wants to do.
Yeah, can have the fullbacks high as well.
Build a 3-1.
Yeah. Would you have that? Would you have one of the fullbacks inverting and the other fullback high, or would you?
I was thinking more one of the double pivots. So let's say Eriksen drops into the back three like he did in his first season, and then Ugarte stays as a pivot. There's so many different dynamics to it, though. It's like, you can definitely, you just need the right balance between the pivot that you're getting.
I think it would have to be in a game where we know we're going to dominate Bonzi. Possession.
Oh,
just like, yeah, because like that midfield two against any sort of attacking threat or ball carrier, like any sort of ball. Imagine like Mateus Cunha like carrying the ball against those two. it's peak. Wow. But we haven't, like, we're talking about the attacking dynamics. Alejandro Garnacho is if we're talking about eating, like, he has, I think, on 7 goals and assists already. And he's left 2 or 3 on the table with that goal in the first game that he just somehow missed, and then obviously the one again at Brighton where Xerxes got in the way, and a few other, and then he missed a gilt-edged chance today as well. So he could be on 10 goals and assists throughout the first, like, what, 4 games?
I only have one complaint. Just one. His brother needs to stay off Twitter.
Look, the point is, yeah, all throughout United's history, we've not just had a strong 11, we've had a strong squad, and there's been players that, like, that have hardly ever, like, started, like, they've not been regular starters, but they've come off the bench and they've turned out as legends, like, obviously, Solskjaer is a striker, but there's so many others as well. Like, obviously, he's young as well. So, and I don't think he brings us the hold of the ball creative dynamic that Ahmad brings us, even though his passing is good. Because I think Ahmad's had like more time in the English game. Like, he's played in the lower leagues and he knows how to protect the ball a bit better, like, and play against defenders. But I think Garnacho's doing like what he should be doing at this point. I don't think it's a problem that he's not starting every game, and I don't think he should at this point as well. I just think whatever he's doing right now, just carry on with it, because if it's not broken, then don't try fixing it.
And I think for me, it's just like, it's like he does well coming on against tired legs, and I don't think he'd be as effective starting as he would coming off the bench. He'd still be good, like starting, as we showed today, like he had good performance, but I just feel like there's no need to change it, and we overplayed him so much last season. Like, and he went off to Copa America. I'm not sure how many minutes he played, but he's still, you know, summer away, still training, and, you know, still playing in a tournament.
I think there was a start, like, I don't know if it was last season or something. He started like 30 something games in a row or something
I think it was 37 or something insane.
Yeah, yeah, it was like crazy.
Bro, in lawyer terms, I told you, gross mismanagement of a player. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Honestly, that's why I'm not mad at him for coming off the bench. Like, it's good for him. You can tell he's hungry to start. You can tell he wants to start. You can tell he deserves, he feels he should start. And that's good. Like, you should have, like, a dynamic like that within your squad. As long as he doesn't get toxic. You know, he's giving them both, like, Rashford and him minutes. He's putting Rashford outright. He's giving Garnacho enough minutes. And he's eating. So, like, you know, let's just carry this on. What do you think, Zohar?
Is anyone missing the players that we
sold?
Yeah,
no, I think you're bang on.
Is anyone missing the players that we sold?
Do you wanna name names, mate? You wanna name names?
Talking about someone specific.
Give me a name, it.
I think there's a lot of people that are saying our attack's crap, and obviously, how are we gonna score goals this season? Is that two games? Obviously, Barnsley, but these last two games scored, is it like nine goals or something?
Ten goals.
And XG is like, obviously, stats in it, but you know, it's.
No one's worried, bro. You take that 4 points.
No one's worried. I think the only worry, see how Ugarte does, but McTominay, I feel like he does bring us a lot in games where we can't.
One last paint crash, McTom. One last one.
Bro, just get at the paint, bro. Just get at the paint. And I think we'd miss McTominay just for the fact that he's, you know, homegrown leader. Didn't mind playing those minutes.
Our squad has evolved. Like, he is an amazing servant for the club. Yeah. Like, he's great time here. I'm glad that he left on a good note. And, like, I think that should just be, like, you're a squad and it just, like, evolves past the need for players sometimes. And it's just, like, players, mutual. And he went to a good club. He went to Napoli. Like, he'll probably do well in Italy. I hope he does well. And I think it was like win-win for both parties, to be honest.
On players, I've got a question. When Shaw gets back fit, the word is, who would you start a right back? I'd start Mazraoui, I think. I just love the way he plays.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'd still keep Mazraoui at right back.
Fries in the bag, bro. Fries in the bag.
Nah, there's no way, bro. There's no way. He's an unbelievable footballer, bro. But
he overlaps so well. Zoe gone.
Stop smiling, you answer, bro.
Sorry.
My thing's lagging in it. I creep me out, bro. That movie smile.
My thing started lagging, but I actually agree with Hassan. I'd start Mazraoui.
Really?
No, man.
Come on, I just can't. Bro, Dalo has been just that guy for like a year.
He brings so much attacking wise to that Ahmad, like that combination is just so good. Obviously, good that
we haven't seen Dalo. I mean, we saw Dalo. He barely played right back in the past like year. Like, he's had to play left back for like literally forever. He's just been It's another one of those like Ahmad Garnacho problems where it's like it's a good problem to have, having two right backs that are really good. Yeah. I mean, Dalo, I think, is just an incredible footballer. And Mazraoui is too. I mean, I don't think it's like there's like a wrong decision, but I think one, we know Mazraoui's injury prone. So just to keep him under wraps and make sure he's available. We know Dalo's played like a million games in a row. Like, he's durable. And he can do everything on the pitch for Ten Hag. Like, he's his Swiss Army knife. He's been everywhere. Wide, inside, forward, defense. Like, he's literally so solid. So I don't think personally Ten Hag would drop him, and I wouldn't drop him. And I think Shaw's going to get, or he better get eased in to the team. We saw, like, he came back from an injury last season and just played like 490s in a row. It's just gross, as Abu keeps saying, gross misconduct. But Yeah, I would keep Dalo. And I think it's one of those things too where it's like Dalo starts one game, maybe the next game midweek, Mazraoui starts, and then it's like back and forth. So they're both not getting overused.
I feel like we have a lot of games this season, so we can use both, like depending on the situation, depending, which is, you know, the good thing about having such good two right backs. But I think with Mazraoui, like CK said, like he's an accident waiting to happen. Like, you know, he's gonna get injured for a period of time, and then I'd rather just have Dalo there. He's adorable, and I think he provides a great overlapping and underlapping threat. I mean, he just has another opportunity to overlap the last.
Wait, did you say adorable or adorable?
Both.
I thought you said adorable. I was like, what are you talking?
Pause.
I was like,
crazy. He's good looking you. He's a good looking you.
No, he's a good looking guy.
They'll both get tested on Saturday though against Palace.
I thought you said they're both cute. I was like, what?
Yeah, me too.
Look at my good looking. What? No, against Palace we got the left wing. Is Eze Invert? Does he play left wing and actually play there? Or does he play for less than the mid and drifts towards it?
They play 2 10s really. Well, it changed. Their last game they played Nketiah and Mateta up front with Eze in the 10.
Oh, damn. My centre backs are going to be in for one next
year. They've got good attacking options.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Wharton been playing as well?
Yeah, he's been
playing. Yeah, Wharton. Decore is hurt, I think. Decore got hurt.
Oh no.
the Drake meme.
What? Damn, man. I wish he was fit, man.
That's going to be a real test, though. Palace, their attack.
Yeah, Palace, away.
Palace Park. Glasner did us last time, man.
Oh, my God. That was the worst game of the season, low-key.
But was Glasner ball or Lise ball?
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it.
I don't think they've won a game this season. Okay. I think they've drawn.
One today, that's it.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Premier League game.
They might win on Saturday.
That's crazy.
Thank you for the chat, bro. What do you mean?
All right, you're going for a timeout, bro. 10 seconds.
What's he doing? All right,
we're back.
You learned your lesson.
Yeah, man, we're winning on Saturday.
Good. There we go. No, but real talk. What are we feeling on Saturday? Do we think what time is the game?
Five.
Okay, 5:30 your time. At least we don't have the early kickoff again. Yes. The all eyes, is that another all eyes on me slot?
Oh my God, bro.
We've literally had the all eyes on me slot every single game. They're setting us up, bro. But are we confident? Are these results just setting us up for eventual disappointment on Saturday, or what do you guys feel?
I'm confident because Palace have been terrible. In other words, this season they've been really bad, but Mateta is coming back. Nketiah is there. They might play a little 4-4-2. They might, you know, just try and overload us physically. But I think our centre halves have been pretty good this season. To be fair, I think De Ligt and Martinez will be able to handle them. And if you just stop us, I think with Palace, it really is the case that if you just stop Eze, you stop the whole team because they have nothing else outside of him. Great. Going forward, but you know, it's an away game. It's going to be tough. And I do think there will be like 20, 30 minutes we're underneath the cash, but I generally, you know, I think we'll ride this momentum and I'm confident, man. I think like it'd be like a 3-1. I think it'd be 3-1 to us.
Marcellus Park.
Brother, like, listen, they've been terrible this season. Like, I know, it's going to be like cliche. They've been terrible. Then every team turns up against United.
Yeah.
You know, like Southampton did, but I generally feel like they've been really bad this season, and I think
they've got Dean Henderson. He is going to prove a point as well.
Who?
Dean Henderson.
But then even so, like he had one good game. I think it was against Wolves 2 games ago. But then I think the whole team has been pretty bad, and there's a Hendo included. And you know, maybe last season was a purple patch underneath Glasner. You don't know. I generally think we'll go out there and we'll beat them. Especially with Decore out as well. What do you guys think?
I'm confident to beat them based off their form and not because of the way we're playing, if you know what I mean. But I'm still excited. I'm still encouraged by the way we're playing. We've improved since last 2 games. So hopefully we pull something out of the bag on Saturday. Imagine we just like go there, slap four past them and get on with it.
That's the dream.
Or we can hold nice. Like four and be embarrassed. But we'll see. Is it away? It's away, isn't it?
It's away to sell us fuck, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I agree with you a little bit because their fans are crazy, man. You know, going to Selhurst Park is, it'll rock us a bit. I think 20, 30 minutes we'll be under the cosh. We'll have to like ride the wave a bit. But our forwards are in good nick. But then again, I feel like this is the game where they like eventually turn up. They've got Wharton, they've got enough attacking options, even with Decore out. I feel like they could still hurt us. But again, our forwards have been good. I feel like we win 2-1. That's mine. So we don't get enough goals, but
I like it.
Rashford's going again for a game in a row.
Yeah. His last goal. When was his last goal at Selhurst Park? Like, a few years ago. He used to score there quite a bit, I think.
Was it when we won 3-2 when Matic scored a winner? Did he score that game? Was that both Lukaku goals?
Lukaku 2 and then Matic 1.
Yeah. But I do remember him scoring there a few times, to be fair.
Yeah.
I remember the lockdown one where Van Aanholt broke his arm after he sent him.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Please, Rashford, please. Put it back. Take me back, man. We got hat trick would be crazy. Back, if he scored a hat trick, we're winning the league.
How is he not scored a Premier League hat trick? I feel like sleep. Noni Madueke scored a hat trick before.
Bro, just give me. If he just scores a goal and we win, then that's all.
Do you know why he hasn't scored a hat trick?
That Madueke hat trick was fugazi, though, let's be honest.
The Wolves game.
They run the same play like three times. It was just like.
That Chelsea game where they scored. What did they win? 6-0? What was it?
It was 5-2 when it was something like
6-2.
Yeah, that was so fugazi. Like, I watched that game and they were just getting like so easy chances. They were all like, oh, we're back. But I just don't think they're that good. But was the United channel keep it United?
Hey. There's some fan accounts out there. No names. Not going to mention no names. Actually started mentioning Rashford by his name now, you know. Before they were ignoring him, now they're actually saying his name and gassing him up. So, you know, that's a good sign. He's winning the people back. Surely, slowly but surely. I just want him to go on his left foot a lot more. Like, bro, like, there's a whole other side. Just go down. Like, he looked like he unlocked it 2 years ago, but then he just stopped going on his left foot. Like, today, hopefully that goal, you know, unlocks him going down because he scored first time with his lefty.
He only had 30 touches today.
Really?
Yeah, there's only like 32 touches or something as well.
Okay. Well,
to be fair, speaking of Chelsea, I think they signed this like left winger. He's pretty good apparently. He got assist on his first game.
So you count that as an assist?
Something to look out for.
Fugazi assist.
You count that as an assist?
Fugazi assist.
Of course not.
You count that as a... But timeout. Game of timeout, man. I've had
of course
not. Right,
all
right, bro.
What's he talking about other men for? What's wrong with this United podcast, bro? Not United VG podcast. What's going on?
Is he back?
Bring him back.
Scar, man.
You said you learned your lesson. The strike two. If you watch baseball, it's two strikes, my guy.
My bad, man.
Got one more.
Well, on that note, I think we have we rounded up everything quite well. Big game on Saturday. If we win on Saturday, then I'll say we're back. Because then we have a midweek game against like Ten Hag's old men, 20, which we should wrap up. And then we got a big game against Spurs. But let's take it one game at a time. Let's just beat Palace on the weekend and then we're home. Then we're back.
And if you don't beat them, then everything's going to come falling down.
Yeah. Then everything, we're finished and then it's over and all hell will break loose. Yeah, worst team ever.
I will tweet Ten Hag out until he actually goes. If you win, I'll say he's the best manager in the league. Like, I'm a fickle fan. Hate me, you'll love me. Okay.
That's my dad, man.
At least he's honest. Perfect. Yeah, at least you're honest. Okay. Anyone got anything else?
That's it, really. I just hope you're enjoying the content that's been coming.
Yeah, of course. Much more support. Support is great. Always. We're leveling up. We'll the season. This is our year, our season.
Get us to 30k. We're 2.2k.
No, this guy's begging it now.
Yeah, get us to 30k, man.
get us to 30k.
Yeah, 30k. Let's get to 1k on YouTube too. Make sure to. I always forget, like and subscribe. I always forget in the intro. Just a terrible host. But yeah, if you made it this far, we appreciate you. Like, subscribe. Just helps us continue to make great content for you guys. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace. Yeah.